Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Last week you heard part one of using a franchise consultant to help in deciding which franchise to buy. In part one, you heard my guest, Giuseppe Grammatico, describe how franchisors supported their franchisees during the pandemic, how a potential franchisee can find and determine if the franchise consultant is reputable, what role the franchise consultant plays in helping a potential franchisee, how the consultant helps in determining the franchise best suited to the potential franchisee, why a franchise may be a better business model for the potential franchisee, and some of the attributes potential franchisees do not possess that would make them a good business owner. In this part, we discuss the best way to determine a good fit for the potential franchisee, potential roadblocks to owning a franchise, the consultant's role after the franchisee has made the purchase, and how the consulting firm decides which franchisors to work with. Before we begin part two, let me remind you about Giuseppe. Giuseppe Grammatico has owned a number of master franchise licenses and has enjoyed a successful franchising career. He has guided over 200 individuals through business ownership, many for the first time. In addition to two decades in franchising, he also has 20 years of sales, marketing, and managing experience. He has assisted over 1,000 individuals and businesses with their investments and achieved over $1 billion in sales. Not everyone is motivated by money and fame, and Giuseppe knows this. He takes the overwhelming guesswork out of the franchising process, listening and teaching along the way. Learning about his candidates' specific goals and their businesses and lives aids him in guiding them down their dream path. Those bold enough to take action on their own are the ones that realize the freedom boldness can deliver. And as Giuseppe says, freedom favors the bold. Now, here is part two of using a franchise consultant.
You've been doing this for a while, so what has your experience been with individuals who come to you, say they're looking for a franchise and ask, should I have a franchise or should I really keep my job?
Asking if they should really keep their job?
Yeah, versus buying a franchise. Based on what you were telling me, the question, you would go through a series of questions with them. Is that how you would figure out you're not a person who should own a franchise?
Actually, no. That's actually an area of, I call kind of education. So along the process, we do some education and, you know, for example, it's not all fast food. So in that case, many people don't know that it's, you know, some people think it's black or white, right? It's got to be one or the other. I have to keep the job or the business. And we actually, this is part of our conference in January. More and more franchise companies are allowing their owners in the very beginning to be semi-absentee and work the business part-time. That number I've seen is growing because the franchise companies are putting together that type of training so that you can kind of keep your job and run this business part-time. So that's more of education that it does exist. The question is, you know, what are you doing? What's your job now? And what are the hours you have to work? Not the number of hours, but what is your, availability for this business? If you keep your job, what kind of, you know, salary are you making now? And what will it take for you to leave that job to run this business full time? So, not every franchise will allow what we call semi-absentee ownership. So, which is fine. That is one key way to narrow down this search of close to 4,000 franchise companies. So, so there is some education. We ask kind of what their flexibility is, work environment. Are they on the road? Are they working from home virtually, giving them even more flexibility? And then saying, okay, let's really focus in on your skill set because we're going to be running this business at a virtual setting, right? You may have an office, but you're sitting at your employer's working out of that office. So how are we going to make this all work? What kind of money do you have to invest? And this is a key point, because you are looking to keep your job and keep that stability, maybe for the first 6 months, realize your expenses are going to be higher because you may have to hire a key employee, and that may be an operations or general manager to help kind of run the day to day while you're at your job temporarily until you make that transition.
So what is the best way to analyze a franchise to see if it's a good fit for the potential franchisee?
So on my end, you know, I like to say, you know, we get the three franchise companies that match the franchise model we created. So I always say we get you, we check off all the boxes, we get you 90 to 95% there. And then it is up to the potential franchisee, the person I'm working with, to say, okay, great. I got three companies to focus on. Now let me have that intro call to get a good understanding from the franchisor exactly what business they're in and the opportunity. And by the second call, you have a very good understanding of the opportunity, the economics. You probably have received their franchise agreement. And more importantly, you have a really good understanding of exactly what the franchisee's role will be in the business. And that is key, because the role of the franchisee is going to really predict your success and how sustainable, you know, this business is going to be. If you are not a salesperson and that role is asking you to go door to door and talk to businesses to convince them to sign up for your coaching service, it's probably not going to last too long. So the biggest key is really focusing in on the role of the franchise owner and why you gather all that information from the franchise company. You know, we talk together and figure out how do we narrow the search down. They're going to have the opportunity to speak with numerous franchisees and ask them, you know, what is truly your role? What was the, you know, what's the day to day look like? Give me a sample day. What about investment? Was the investment truly in line in between 100 and 150,000? Did it go over? And so you'll get to what we call validate. So there's going to be different steps. You do them in a certain order, right? You don't want to talk to existing franchisees because you don't know the questions to ask in the very beginning. You want to get educated on the franchise, review the agreement. And if you still feel like it may be a good fit, then start asking and having those heart to heart conversations with existing franchisees. And it just continues. You ask those questions. We work together to make sure it's a good fit. And we help you scale those three companies down to one.
I understand that sometimes the potential franchisees can hit roadblocks in their journey to buy the franchise. Can you kind of explain what these roadblocks might be and how they're overcome?
Yes. So a couple roadblocks. You know, one is the spouse, partner, whoever is involved in that decision. They were not part of the actual process. They weren't on the calls. They didn't actually, you know, participate, ask questions. They kind of got involved at the very end. So, anyone I work with, I'll say from the very beginning, want to make sure everyone that is going to be involved in this decision, even though maybe the spouse or partner, whoever, may not be actually in the business itself, you still have to inform them, because there's going to be a risk involved. There's going to be an investment. Also, there's going to be, you know, maybe more hours, so you may not be around as often. So, I think if you follow the process, you avoid most of that. But number one is going to be fear. Right? Fear of the unknown, fear of uncertainty. And that's a big one, because now you are in the safe job. And in this case, just say you're leaving that job for the business. Now you're like, okay, I'm leaving the safe job with benefits to make the leap into entrepreneurship. Will it work out? Will I get my investment back? This and that. So you get a lot of this, head trash. You get, it's fear. You can call it whatever you want, and it's normal.
It's normal.
So I talk about it is normal. Guess what? I went through the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So it's completely normal. Sometimes you get buyer's remorse, right? You buy a vehicle and it's like, oh my gosh, I spent all this money on this car, or this, I just bought a home, or whatever the big ticket item was. And it's normal, and it's good to have that conversation. I have those conversations all the time. And my response is, it's normal. We talked about this day one. We talk about this on every call, but it's good to, if you're fearful of the investment, then you have those conversations. How many franchisees did fail? And if you say, well, two failed, I'll say, okay, well, that's not enough. Why did they fail? And you may find out that they were undercapitalized. You may find out that they did not follow the system. Our number, you know, one of the top reasons for failure in our business is not following the system. Then why the heck did you buy the franchise? I jokingly say. So, and then you need to be capitalized. You got to have funds available. I wrote a book during the pandemic and I talk about, and this is my, when I told my wife this, she goes, out of all the people you could have quoted, I quoted Jim Carrey. this was actually out of character, right? He did a commencement speech. It's on YouTube. I can get you the link, but it was really interesting. And he talks about his dad. His dad is actually could have been a famous comedian. And you've never heard of Jim Carrey's dad. I don't even know his father's first name. He felt being a comedian was risky, right? Where he was a trained CPA. So he decided being a comedian was risky. I'm going to be a CPA. I'm going to go with a safe job. So he took the safe job, was miserable. A few months later, he lost his job. He lost was a failure at a safe job. So if you can fail at something that was relatively safe, why not go for it all? Why not, be that comedian, that business owner and take that risk? So, it's a story he talks about quite a bit. Again, out of character, not the Ace Ventura that we know of Jim Carrey, but he does a lot of these speeches and it really stuck to me. I talked about it in the book a little bit. I post a lot of this stuff and it's true, right? There's a risk in everything we do, but we can also fail at what we think is safe. And a job is also risky, right? When we look at a job, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a job. We obviously, this isn't for everyone, but in a job, we work for a single employer. We have one source of income and, where do we do with our money? So we have one source of income. We blindly invest in a 401k. That's also not. Is being managed by the employer. You pick a few companies and you're like, okay, I'm going to pick a fund company. I can pick five mutual funds. These are the five funds. Is that true diversification? Is that putting all your eggs in one basket from an investment standpoint? Yeah, it is. There's really no diversification. It's that one source of income and then putting all your money in maybe five funds. Whereas with a business, you can diversify. You can own a portfolio of various businesses. You could be involved as much as you like, and you can invest your retirement in almost anything. So truly diversifying, truly, especially with the times the way they've been, we're currently at, there's the war going on. We just went through COVID. How could I have diversified? What would be a different approach to my investments if I had, owned a business and had that flexibility? So I always make that argument, and I don't make the argument for people to say, let's all leave our jobs and own a business, but it's a reality check and it's a different way of thinking. I was a corporate guy for many, many years, worked in the family business, had the blinders on, and then they were finally taken away and said, wow, there's a lot more out there, but you got to get over that hump. You got to take the leap of faith. You can't sit in due diligence mode for years and years, which most people do, and never make the leap. So I say bet on yourself. You live once, go for it, but do it in an educated way where you do your due diligence, go through a process. And I wish everyone the best of luck.
Now, I know that when a potential franchisee actually purchases the franchise, you get paid from the franchisor. Is that where your involvement with the franchisee ends? And if not, what other services do you provide to the franchisee once they purchase the franchise?
Yes. So there's no fee for our service. We are paid after investing in a franchise directly from the franchisor. So there's no difference in the investment, whether you use a consultant or not. And that's the beauty of the service that we offer. As far as relationship goes, I always check in. I want to know how things are going. I want feedback about how the franchisor training was. I want pictures. Maybe actually go to the opening, if they're local here, grand opening of the franchise and things like that. So I'm always in constant contact. Sometimes I'll get a call. Hey, business is going well. Can you recommend an attorney? Or do you know someone in our state that can recommend an attorney? Or do you, I want to, you know, expand our brand. What are my funding options? So I'll make the introduction to a funding partner that we work with. So we're always in constant contact as far as, you know, when time goes on. I get the calls often. How do I expand my business? Can I buy additional territory, or is there a brand that will complement my current business? And we'll explore that route as well. So I'm always around. I'm always a resource, and at bare minimum, I'm checking in at least every 3 to 6 months just to see how things are going. And everyone has direct access to my calendar if they want to schedule a call.
All right. Well, the last question, in looking at franchising.com, they state there are over 3,350 known franchise businesses available in over 29 countries. Now, I'm sure that many of them are probably not seeking new franchisees, but how do you decide which franchise businesses to work with?
Yeah, so I, as I mentioned in the beginning, I am part of the organization Franchoice. And so I work closely with them, and the reason they're one of the first franchise consultant companies out there, and they actually have a pre-screen that they assist with. And before we ever work with any franchise company, they have, and this is not due diligence, this is simply a pre-screen of what they look for. And part of that pre-screen, it's broken up in four parts. So one is the interview management. So they check to make sure that there are good unit economics, franchisees are making money, good territory availability, right? If they're 95% sold, probably not a good partner to work with, and just good, you know, responsible plans to support growth. So they'll speak with management, ask them, you know, kind of what their vision is, how many franchise owners they have, how, you know, what they're looking to expand, what that support looks like. They will, the second part is they'll review the franchise agreement, just looking for any red flags and asking questions. And if there are a lot of red flags and lots of lawsuits, we just won't work with that particular brand. The third is, validation. They'll not call every franchise, but they'll contact franchisees, current franchisees, making sure that, they're happy, they're making money and getting support. Simple as that, right? They're not going to call everyone, but they're going to do random checks. And lastly, you know, do they have that solid infrastructure and system, and communications with their franchisees? And that's a big one, because the reason you're buying this franchise is the support, right? We want to make sure we're getting not just the initial support when you open your franchise, but ongoing support, because you're paying typically a percentage of your gross revenue, typically, not in every case. Sometimes there's a flat structure, flat amount structure. So, so they do a pre-screen. We don't work with every franchise company out there. We feel we work with some of the best companies out there that pass this pre-screen. And yeah, so that's the initial pre-screen. And then anyone that's passed a pre-screen that we're, you know, working together on, we'll work together and learn about their brands. They'll let us know specifically who is the right fit for that brand. Is it someone that's outgoing, or, you know, is the sales taken care of and they just want more of a manager? So we meet typically at least twice a year on site with 100 franchise companies. Well, we'll get an overview of the kind of state of franchising, what they're doing, what's working, what's not working, updates, and we get to answer, ask questions, and really dive into, you know, a lot of franchise systems offer great support. It's just they end up offering a different product or service. Who is truly the good fit for this franchise? Not just everyone, you know, that's looking at business ownership, but are certain people a better fit versus others? And we really spend lots of time, at least I do, asking those questions and really kind of building that client avatar or that franchise avatar for each brand. So, you know, we don't look at every single franchise. It's virtually impossible. You could spend the rest of your life interviewing franchise companies, and many companies, they're just not built to last. They've had a great product or service, and they're gone the next year because they didn't actually have a support system to help their franchisees.
Well, thank you, Giuseppe, for your time and your expertise in guiding the listeners to what exactly a franchise consultant does and how that can be of great service to the potential franchisor. I think that you have some great stuff here. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I had a great time, Michael.
In our discussion, Giuseppe mentioned he has written a book, How to Chart Your Own Course to Success, Franchise Freedom. His book is available at no cost. Just go to https://ggthefranchiseguide.com/book to get your copy. To repeat that, it's https://ggthefranchiseguide.com/book to get your copy. As you've heard, franchise consultants can be a wonderful asset to help you find a strong franchise opportunity that matches your goals. They can explore the dreams you hope to accomplish through franchise ownership. They help determine your skills and preferences so that the companies you investigate match well with you. With a good consultant, you'll save time and effort, narrow down your possibilities so that you can focus on the best. Not bad. And you don't pay anything. The franchise consultant is paid by the franchisor. The question I have is this a potential conflict of interests? With the consultant being paid by the franchisor, are your best interests being served? Only you can decide that. You need to make sure that, just like any other investment you've made, you have thoroughly checked out your consultant and his company. After all, the investment you are making can be substantial. You wouldn't buy a home or a used car without inspection. This is no different. So how do you make sure you're dealing with a reputable franchise consultant you can trust? The following characteristics and qualifications will help you sort the wheat from the chaff. Franchise industry experience. The more your consultant knows about franchising and business ownership, the better job he or she can do in finding one that will be your perfect fit. Look for a consultant who has been a franchisee who has experience with a franchisor's executive team. Any good salesman can talk the talk, but you need someone who has actually walked the walk. Do they have a full-time professional focus? A consultant who has his fingers in many other pies is not going to have the time or energy to give you the full focus of his attention. You need to select someone who's an experienced professional doing his job on a full-time basis with a successful track record of helping people like you. What is their reputation in the industry? A reputable consultant will spend hours with you asking questions and listening to your needs and goals before even discussing franchise companies that might work well for you. Any consultant who starts mentioning companies within a few minutes of conversation is simply trying to shoehorn everyone into the same few opportunities. Do they have pre-screened franchisors? An effective consultant will have a selection of pre-screened franchise companies to potentially work with. This allows them to know that the opportunities are strong while also being able to adapt potential choices to whatever is most important to the candidate looking for a franchise. You will want to work with a company that carefully pre-screens the franchise companies being offered and one that also has a good variety of industries, investment levels, and business models. And do they have proven results? One way to determine if your consultant is able to find you the right franchise is to look at their results. If they work with reputable franchisors and are making good selections for their franchisees' candidates, they should be helping a significant number of people find their ideal fit in a franchise. Like any good business, a franchise consultant that has been around for a number of years is likely to be strong, ethical, and providing a valuable service to customers. If you know someone who has successfully used this service, ask for information about the consultant they use. Your best option may be to interview consultants before you begin the consultation process. This way, you can see if you can make a connection and if they have the knowledge and skills needed to help you in this all-important decision. Like I said earlier, you're going to outlay a great deal of money. You wouldn't buy a house without first having it thoroughly inspected. The same goes for your franchise consultant. If you would like more information about this show or any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points or comment about this show or past shows, you may email me at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. I again would like to thank my guest, Giuseppe Granatico, for being with us today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit oceancounty.score.org. oceancounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.